Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 6:45 tonight here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant and Danny. Why I see? Sitting in for G&D as the fellas enjoy the rest of their holiday break. Grant back in studio tomorrow. I believe it'll be Grant and Toby Altizer tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Ryan clearly has no clue. But what does Ryan know? We will do Ryan Explains It All at some point in the show this afternoon. But excited to be here with you all. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, man. I hope you all enjoyed the past 24 hours. I hope you got lit last night in a safe and responsible manner. And I hope all of your resolutions for the new year are good and you're able to follow through on them, man. I said this yesterday. I was working yesterday because, well, what else would I be doing? Yesterday, I was on the Infinity Sports Network as well as right here on 106.7 The Fan with my guy Denton Day. And I said when I was on the Infinity Sports Network, the thing that I'm working on for 2025, and it feels crazy to say that. The thing I'm working on for 2025 is discernment. Having discernment. And some of you are probably like, huh, what the hell is discernment? Discernment is decision-making in a nutshell. Making good choices. And that's in my personal life, my professional life. There are some NFL franchises, some NBA franchises, some pro sports franchises that are going to have to use discernment in the year of 2025. And let's just say I don't trust them to make good decisions. I will expand on that as we roll throughout the show here, but we're loaded. We'll have a couple of guests stop by. And when I say a couple, I mean a lot. We'll hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. We also are going to hear from Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network, Steve Weiss. He's going to join us in the program. First guest stopping by in about 50 minutes. How lucky are we that the big fella, Logan Paulson, giving us some time on New Year's Day? We'll ask him the impact that Austin Eckler's return to the lineup will have on the Washington Commanders offense. As you all know, I'm sure the DOC let you know at some point during his show. Austin Eckler officially having his 21-day practice window opened up as he tries to make his return from that concussion that he suffered against Dallas about 5 weeks ago. And when we talked to Austin Eckler, when we talked to Austin Eckler on Monday, I believe it was, myself and Grant, I'll be real with you, didn't sound like a guy that was about to get his 21-day practice window open. So I wouldn't call it a stunning turn of events, but definitely a little bit of a surprise for me that Austin Eckler's having that practice window open. Here's what I will say about that. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, somebody, if they didn't activate him this week, he would have to be shut down for the remainder of the regular season or for the remainder of the year. So I think that is the benefit of that. Or the reason behind that, rather, is that, look, you don't know. He probably doesn't play this week, right? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he probably doesn't play this week. I would even say maybe he doesn't play in the wild card round of the playoffs. But if they do win a playoff game, and we'll discuss the bevy of different playoff scenarios as we roll throughout the show here. If they do win a playoff game, I would assume, and hopefully I don't make an ass out of you and me, I would assume that he would be available for the divisional round of the playoffs. But we will ask Logan Paulson about the X's and O impact that Austin Ekeler has on this offense. That and a bunch more when he joins us top of the 3 o'clock hour. College football playoff in full swing. Texas and Arizona State right now. About 8:54 left to go in that first half. Texas up 17-3. Quinn Ewers playing good ball, putting the noise to the side. This is a funny thing about this game and the way Quinn Ewers is playing. He's all one right now. 6-9, 114, and a touchdown here in the first half. 13 yards per completion. Will Quinn Ewers be in a Longhorns uniform next year is the big question. Rumor has it there is a unnamed team that has a $6 million NIL valuation on Quinn Ewers, and I have to think that it's Ohio State. I feel like it's Ohio State. When you think about the relationship that he had with the program previously, and Arch is breathing down his back. So I would assume, because I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to leave. Doesn't make sense for him to leave. I don't think he's ready. But in a weak quarterback class, maybe there's more incentive to leave early. Who knows? We'll see if Quinn Ewers leaves Texas. I fully expect him to. And where he ultimately ends up, $6 million for Quinn Ewers is a lot of money. And when you already think about Ohio State's quarterback situation with Julian saying, now going to be a sophomore next year and potentially able to take the reins. I just don't know if Quinn Ewers makes a whole lot of sense elsewhere in the college football playoff landscape. I'll be fully open, honest, and transparent with you all. We, as sports radio hosts, have a lot. We have personal lives outside of sports. And today, you know, fresh off of the New Year's Eve shebangs last night, I was kind of out of the loop a little bit. But we do know, we found this out officially, that there will be, well, actually, let me toss to Byron Kerr with breaking news here on an update with the Sugar Bowl.
Breaking news from On3.com. The All-State Sugar Bowl is being postponed to Thursday following the terrorist attack that killed 10 and injured as many as 35 on New Year's Day in New Orleans. This, according to District Attorney of Orleans Parish Jason Williams via ABC News. So the Georgia versus Notre Dame game will now be Thursday night at Caesars Superdome instead of tonight at 8:45 p.m. because of the terrorist attack. We'll have more updates throughout the day. I'm Byron Kerr on The Fan.
Wow. Thank you, Byron. That is, I mean, you hate to hear anything like that. Obviously, I had no clue what was even going on. I was aware of what happened last night, tragically. I know 10 lives were taken by what we're calling I don't know if it's a domestic terrorist attack or whatever, but there was someone that, I guess, drove through the French Quarter or down Bourbon Street last night while people were celebrating the New Year and decided to run people over. It's awful that in the year 2025, we're still dealing with things like that in our country. To see it impact sports, I think, is also very significant, because I think, and I know this is going to sound stupid, but it's the way we think as sports fans, more people now invested in this situation because of the impact that it's having on the Sugar Bowl. Notre Dame and Georgia were expected to kick off tonight at about 8:45 p.m. Eastern time. As you heard from Byron, that no longer going to happen as a result, a precautionary measure based on last night's terrorist attack. And I'm at a loss of words, honestly. Put the football aside, are the Saints at home this weekend? I don't know if the Saints are at home this weekend, but I was thinking this. If there are genuine concerns about, well, the Saints are not at home this weekend, if there are genuine concerns about a terrorist attack, what precautionary measures will they take here in the next 24 hours to best protect, one, the city of New Orleans, and then, two, all the players and media members, fans, etc. involved? So, we'll, as Byron said, we'll keep you up to speed here over the next 4 hours as a result of, you know, in terms of what's going on with that. We'll get you updates as they become available to us, but honestly stunned. Completely stunned to hear that. Tragic set of circumstances, but ultimately, you know, this is kind of, I hate to say this, it's become the new norm in our country. Things of this nature happening, it's unfortunate, it's tough. Prayers to everyone that was impacted by this. I don't know if anyone from outside of the city of New Orleans was impacted by this. I know it's a good vacation spot for folks when they, I guess New Year, you don't vacation, but it's a good tourist attraction, so to speak. I know people that go down to New Orleans in the French Quarter area for New Year's and big time holidays. So hopefully everybody involved, the families of those people that passed away, hopefully they're able to find some peace in this situation, and hopefully we get some answers here. Because like I said, I'll be real with you. I don't pretend to do politics up here. I have no clue what's happening. I really don't know whether this is a domestic terrorist attack, whether this is from outside of the country. I have no clue. But like I said, we will give you updates as they become privy to us, you know, here throughout the program. It sucks that we have to talk about this, but it's the reality of the situation, and hopefully tomorrow night the game is able to go on and they're able to use this next, 20, 30 hours or so to take the proper precautionary measures to ensure that this thing is able to happen safely. The other game, in the other quarterfinal game in the college football playoff that was set to kick off today, Oregon and Ohio State, a game that I'm calling the pseudo national championship game because I expect the winner of this game to go all the way. If you remember the matchup that these two had earlier on in the college football season, it was a couple of poor decisions from Will Howard that led to Ohio State losing the football game. I think Oregon and their ability to get after Will Howard, you know, is going to be something that impacts today's contest. I thought the Oregon defense in that first matchup did a good job of limiting, you know, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. So we'll see how this Oregon defense responds. They will have Jordan Burch this time around, who did not play in the first meeting between Ohio State and Oregon. Dylan Gabriel also has the ability to make some history tonight. Potentially, I think he's 3 touchdowns shy of passing Case Keenum for the most touchdowns in FBS history. So that's something to look forward to. And then when we think about Dylan Gabriel and his NFL prospects, and like the chance he has to make it to the next level, when you look at a guy like Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, who were 5-year starters in college, does a guy like Dylan Gabriel become more enticing to a quarterback needy team? We'll discuss that and get you a full scale preview of Buckeyes and Ducks, top of the 4 o'clock hour, when our guy Bobby Carpenter joins the program, former Ohio State Buckeye and former Dallas Cowboy. He'll join us at about 4 o'clock. Remember, 3 o'clock, Logan Paulson going to join the program and give us the latest on the burgundy and gold and what he expects down the stretch here as Washington gets geared up for their week 18 finale this Sunday on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. We got some news on the Washington Commanders earlier today. Austin Ekeler officially having his 21-day practice window opened. What does it mean if he's able to return to the lineup for the postseason? I'll tell you what I think on that next. This is The Fan.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. You can tell by the rejoin, though. It's a YIC takeover here on New Year's Day. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 6:45. Byron told you in the update, Wizards and Bulls tonight from Cap One Arena. We will let you get a little preview in of Wizards-Bulls, and we'll talk big picture with the Washington Wizards coming up top of the 6 o'clock hour. Our pal Josh Robbins going to join the program. Got a chance to catch up with him a little bit earlier. We'll ask him about Kyle Kuzma's future in Washington in the stellar month of December from the number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr. Remember all the discussion about Sarr struggling in summer league? In the month of December, Alex Sarr shooting 45.5% from beyond the arc while continuing to alter shots on a routine basis defensively. Got to be excited about the young Wizards if you are a DC sports fan, man. Speaking of DC sports, it's been a pretty good 24 hours for DC sports. Wizards continuing to play well. They're in action tonight. And then yesterday, the old Washington Capitals, big-time victory over the Boston Bruins, 3-1. Alexi Protas lighting the lamp twice in that one. And the Capitals, winners of 2 out of their last 3, playing good ball here. I really feel like with this Caps team, first of all, I love the black uniforms, by the way. It's my favorite thing about this Caps hockey season is the swag. But with Protas scoring his 15th and 16th goal of the season yesterday, Washington, the fourth team this year, with 3 15-goal scorers, including Alex Ovechkin and Connor McMichael. So that's awesome. They were poking a little bit of fun on Caps Twitter last night after the victory. So awesome to see. I really feel like, and these two teams just played not too long ago, it felt like. Wow. Maybe they hadn't played not too long. Although they had played not too long ago. They played 2 games ago. And Boston was 4-1 victors in Boston. So way to get it back in blood, so to speak. If you're the Washington Capitals, they are back in action tomorrow from Cap One Arena, 7 p.m. face-off as they host the Minnesota Wild. So Washington starting to get into that thick portion of the schedule where they're playing some really good teams here. So we'll see how they continue to fare. Right now, currently, the Caps right now are tops still in the Eastern Conference with 52 points, and we'll see if they can continue to lead the pack, so to speak. Man, if you would have told me back this summer when the Caps were actually active in free agency and the trade market making moves, if you would have told me that through the first 37 games of the season, that they would be atop the Eastern Conference, I would think that Ovi would have broke the damn record by now. Like, it's that type of situation. Obviously, though, Ovechkin has missed some time with his injury, but we'll keep you up to speed on the Caps as information becomes available to us. But I want to get into the Washington Commanders, man. Big-time news we got earlier today. Austin Ekeler officially having his 21-day practice window opened up. It's my expectation that he won't play Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. That's just a hunch. But the fact that he is being activated is good news for Washington, but it could also be a nothing burger, right? So there are both sides of the spectrum here when it comes to what is going on with Austin Ekeler and the Washington Commanders. Now, they had to activate him today, or it would have been a situation where you run the risk of losing him for the remainder of the season. So while I don't expect him to play Sunday against Dallas, whoever they play in the wild card round of the playoffs, if they win Sunday, it'll either be Tampa or the LA Rams. Whoever they play in that wild card round, maybe there's a shot he plays in that game. But I keep pointing towards the divisional round. Me and Grant Paulson talked to Austin Ekeler Monday during his weekly hit that he does with G&D. Obviously, I sat in for Danny. And it did not sound like a guy who was on his way back. It just didn't. Now, it's hard to gauge Austin, right? I've gotten to interview him twice now the last 2 weeks, first with Danny, Monday with Grant. You know, it's if he wants to answer, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. So I appreciate him, you know, obviously giving us time and all that, but not to sound negative. It just didn't sound like a guy that was close to being back. It's been a while. The second concussion that he had was, I mean, super scary. I believe he ended up in like the fencing position. He was knocked out cold. Like, it was tough to watch that. And it being his second major concussion of the year, I had real doubts and reservations about, you know, whether or not we would see him again this year. And then from Austin's perspective, does it make sense for you as a player to return back? Obviously, the competitor in him wants to go out and fight with his team, especially when you're in the thick of a playoff push. But you got to put your future first. But Austin going to give it a go. I don't know. I guess I got to just check Twitter. The official practice status for him today. But we'll get that to you when we find it out. I just continue to believe that if they get him back, I don't want to gas the situation, I guess, is the best way that I could put it. But he really makes a difference on this offense. And then from a roster, when Austin gets cleared, if he gets cleared, what do the Commanders do? Who gets cut? Because someone's going to have to get cut, right? And if he comes back, Washington would have four active running backs: Brian Robinson, Chris Rodriguez Jr., Jeremy McNichols, and then Austin Eckler. When you consider the special teams value of McNichols and Rodriguez, for that matter, I think they keep all four running backs active. I really do believe that. And the running back position, I would say, has been so important to this football team that you got to. You got to keep them up. But I think the special teams value of McNichols and Chris Rodriguez will allow both of those guys to stay on the 53 because Chris Rodriguez is showing he ain't scared. He'll run down on kickoff and make a tackle. He'll run down on punt and make a tackle. So I think they keep all four backs. I think the bigger question regarding Washington's running back question or running back position is this, and we'll take your calls on this on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lines, 1-800-636-1067. Based on the way Chris Rodriguez has performed in his small sample size of work this season, is it time for him to potentially eat into Brian Robinson's touches and snaps? I'm not saying you just fully bench Brian Robinson and he doesn't get any clock, because I think there's value that he brings. But should it be closer to a 50-50 carry split between Chris Rodriguez and Brian Robinson when it comes to the responsibilities on first and second down? I continue to believe that, hey, look, Chris Rodriguez's production, you know, can't be ignored, right? It can't be. He has played well every time he's gotten to play. Now, these numbers are via our guy Grant Paulson. The rushing yards over expected per attempt, which is how much yardage you get over what you should on each run. Brian Robinson's 0.1, Chris Rodriguez is a 0.6. The rushing EPA, meaning expected points added on the season, Brian Robinson, when he touches the football, is a minus 15.3, and Chris Rodriguez is a 0.6. Now, when you go yards after contact per run, 3 yards per carry after contact for B-Rob, 4.1 yards after contact for Chris Rodriguez. So I say all that to say this. Analytics mean diddly squat without context, but I think anyone watching this football team, the eye test would tell you Chris Rodriguez is a more decisive runner of the football than Brian Robinson's been this year. And when you couple that with the two fumbles against Philadelphia, here's the other thing we don't talk about. Remember that moment when we all went, when Jayden Daniels' knee got bent back? That was a byproduct of B-Rob getting his ass whipped in pass protection. That's why that happened. So when you couple all of that in, when you factor all of that in, yes, I think it is a realistic conversation we need to be having. Should Chris Rodriguez eat into Brian Robinson's snaps? I'm going to take it a step further because the production is real. Should Chris Rodriguez unseat Brian Robinson as the first and second down back for the Washington Commanders? We'll ask you that at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Now, on the season, when you compare Brian Robinson and Chris Rodriguez, the numbers are in favor of Brian Robinson because he has received the lion's share of the work. But you would have to be a bold-faced lie to sit up here and say that Brian Robinson at this point is marketably better than Chris Rodriguez. I don't think there's much of a difference between the two. If there was a difference, I at this point am giving the edge to Chris Rodriguez because I think he's shown himself to be a more decisive runner. And maybe it's because of wear and tear to Brian Robinson that we aren't seeing him hit the hole maybe the way we've been accustomed to. I just think B-Rob, love Brian Robinson at 6'1", 230. Like, he's got the size to be a problem as an NFL back. He has been a problem in a good way as an NFL back. But I look at the way he performed really the last 3 weeks. Now, when you look at Sunday night against Atlanta, I thought he was actually pretty good against Atlanta. But there, when you really go back and slow it up and look at it, not only is Chris Rodriguez more decisive, I would even take it a step further and say the vision is also a little bit better. Now, that puts the analytics to the side. That doesn't matter. The eye test even tells you, hey, look, when C-Rod touches the football, more times than not, good things happen. So it's a fascinating conversation. I wonder if any of our media members asked Dan Quinn that today during his media availability. We'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, as the show rolls on here this afternoon. But I don't know. I have no clue as to whether or not they're going to make a decision there. Benching him, when you consider the way that the carries have been split here, B-Rob went over 20 carries twice this year. Week 4 against Arizona and then 2 weeks ago in New Orleans. So it's not like he's been this bell cow guy anyway. Other guys have touched the football. I just think the responsibilities on first and second down for these Commander running backs is simple. Don't lose yards and get us ahead of the sticks. Point blank. Like, that is the secret sauce to this Commander's offense, is staying ahead of the chains. I think Chris Rodriguez has done enough to deserve more snaps. He has. Should he start over Brian Robinson Jr.? We'll ask you that at 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. Plenty more to get to here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant and Danny. Coming up top of the 3 o'clock hour in about 15 minutes, our pal Logan Paulson going to join the program to give us his thoughts on the return potentially of Austin Ekeler and what that can mean from an X's and O standpoint. We'll get you a college football playoff preview. Oregon, Ohio State set to kick off at 5. Joining us at 4 o'clock will be former Ohio State Buckeye Bobby Carpenter. But when we get back, I'll tell you which team in the National Football League has the most Pro Bowl votes. I'll give you the top 5 teams in the NFL that have the most Pro Bowl votes. And one team in the top 5 may surprise you. It's next. They're on the Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this New Year's Day edition of Grant and Danny. It's the YIC. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 645. In about 10 minutes, former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson and the co-host of the Take Command podcast with the guy Craig Hoffman going to join us at 3 o'clock. I just thought of something. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-636-1067 on whether or not Chris Rodriguez has earned the right, rather, to eat into Brian Robinson's carries on first and second down. I think he has. But when you look at Washington's running back position, remember this summer when folks were talking about this team, I would not have mentioned the running back room as a strength. I wouldn't have. I liked the top with Eckler and B-Rob, but I wasn't a big fan of Chris Rodriguez. I didn't know how effective he could potentially be. I was not familiar with your game, Mr. Rodriguez. I also had no idea Jeremy McNichols would give this team the spark and punch that he has this year. Shout out to Zach Selby, who writes for thecommanders.com. He told us out at camp, not only is Jeremy McNichols making this football team, he's going to contribute at some point. And he's done it. So Washington's running back room, the depth, all of a sudden the strength. And I give a ton of credit to the pro scouts. And I give a ton of credit to Adam Peters for, you know, putting this room together the way that they did. And I guess we got to thank Ron Rivera for drafting Chris Rodriguez. And we're looking at, like, Ron Rivera success stories. His last draft class probably was his best one when you consider Quan Martin coming out of it. Looks like the long-term starter at free safety. And he's not a world beater or top 10 in his position, but he's pretty damn serviceable and solid. As you saw him come up with a big pick on Sunday against Atlanta, but he drafted him. He drafted Chris Rodriguez. Deami Brown is a Ron Rivera draft pick. Percy Butler. So there are some guys from Ron's house that's, you know, performing and giving you some good stuff. The question right now on the phones, 1-800-636-1067, has Chris Rodriguez earned the ability to eat into Brian Robinson's carries? And then I'll take it a step further. Should he be the starting running back moving forward for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. This in light of Austin Eckler's 21-day practice window being opened up. He is eligible to return Sunday against Dallas. I doubt that happens based off of the protocol, but there's a shot. He hadn't been ruled out yet, but there is a shot when it comes to Austin Eckler returning to the lineup Sunday against Dallas. I continue to look at the divisional round of the playoffs in terms of like when we could realistically see him. He could very well play in the playoff game, but we'll see. We'll go out to the phones, though. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Reggie in Baltimore. What's up, Reg?
Hey, thanks, Linnell, for taking my call, man.
Sure.
Linnell, absolutely, man. Give this guy a shot, man. Rodriguez, man. I mean, didn't you made a good point, Linnell, when you say Brian Robinson missed the block that where Jaden Daniels got hit and bent backwards, man. I thought that was important. That's key. And then I like Brian Robinson, but early on in the season he had Eckler playing alongside of him, so I thought that helped him out a lot. Not taking anything from him.
Right.
A good, powerful back, but absolutely, man. I might even go as far as to say, man, maybe even starting Chris Rodriguez to Linnell. So I would definitely give him a shot, man.
So that's interesting that you talk about starting him, Reggie, and I want to keep you here for a second. I forgot what game it is. Ryan, maybe you can think of it, or Reggie, you can. When Chris Rodriguez came in at the end of the game and had a big-time pass block. I don't know if it was Tennessee. I don't know if it was the week prior to that, and I'm looking at the schedule now. I think it was the Pittsburgh game, maybe, where he had a big-time pass block that allowed Daniels to make a throw. So, to your point, like, the ancillary things that he does at the position, too, I think are huge. But the eye test just shows you, Reg, and I think that's what you were hitting at. He just seems like he's the more decisive runner right now.
Absolutely, man. He's hitting the holes faster, man. He seems like, and then you can't, you know, he's keeping his legs moving. as we saw in that Atlanta game, man, down near the goal line where he went in for the touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, not taking anything from B-Rob, man. But right now, we can all see that Chris Rodriguez, right now, over the last few games, this guy's making an impact. So, yeah, definitely, I would give him a shot.
For sure.
Yep.
Reggie, so, Happy New Year, my man. Appreciate you tapping in, as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman and former Redskins tight end, going to join us top of the 3 o'clock hour. Right now, we're taking your calls. Based on the way Chris Rodriguez and Brian Robinson have both performed here over the last month or so, Rodriguez finding the end zone Sunday, huge touchdown, breaking a tackle of A.J. Terrell, I believe. Do you think Rodriguez has, one, earned the right to eat into B-Rob's carries? And would you take it a step further? Should he start over Brian Robinson in the season finale Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? Rod's in Landover. What's up, Rod?
Hey, what's up, bro? Happy New Year,
Happy
man.
New Year to you, brother.
Yeah, man. I would say, yeah, man. He got quicker feet, man. We need a guy with quicker feet. I mean, Brian Robinson, he's okay and all that, but this guy's a little bit quicker, and I think that's what we need. I think sometimes, depending on the opponent that you're playing, you know, I think that matters. So I think playing him against Dallas will probably give us a good idea, you know, what we probably should do moving forward. So I would play him against Dallas, man. I would play him mostly against Dallas and see what we have. That way we'll know what we're going to do in that playoff game.
Rod, appreciate the call as always, my brother. Happy New Year's to you and yours. 1-800-636-1067. The number right here on Grant Danny, the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, sitting in for G&D. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, our first guest will stop by the program. Former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson joins us next.